The following is a lecture at Satya Sai Baba Temple, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 7th, 2012, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for welcoming me tonight so nicely to your center. Tonight we are going to speak some wisdom from the Vedic teachings. These Vedic teachings are the guiding principle for human society. They are very, very important. We are advancing nowadays in so many ways technologically, but unfortunately spiritually we are now very, very much in the dark ages. What is the great advantage of so much material progress if in our next life we have to become animals because of our sinful activities, you see? Human life means we have evolved through 8,200,000 species. We are now in this human form of life. You see, this is described in the Vishnu Purana. Jadadala lavalakshani stavadalaksha vingshati krimiya rudra sankhyaka pakshinam dashalakshanam chintalakshani manasham Pashavaha Chatur Lakshani Manasha. There are 8,400,000 species of life. The human species is only 400,000. So to be a human being is actually a very, very rare opportunity. So what is the unique facility or duty of the human life? That is given in Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have a human birth, you are meant to utilize it to understand what is the absolute truth. But what are they doing? They're realizing the absolute truth? Where is money? Money, 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 sweeter than honey, you see. They're running after money. But can money satisfy a human being? No. No human being has ever become satisfied by money, that's it. Never. It has never happened, it never will happen. Srimati Radharani has very nicely explained, Mana mora vamadina jalavina yena mina. If for even one moment I forget about Krishna, then my impoverished mind will die immediately like a fish out of water. Because we are forgetting Krishna, we are miserable actually. The whole world civilization has turned their back on Krishna. Therefore everyone is suffering. So all we have to do to come back to our original position, you see, is to get back into Krishna consciousness. If a fish is tossed by the influence of the waves onto the sandy beach, what will happen to that fish? Will he have a good time? He said, oh wow, here I am on the beach, there's so many hot dog stands and the cotton candy stands and there's a roller coaster ride and I'm a corn car on the cob stand. I'm going to have great fun here on the beach. Can that fish enjoy in the land? No. He's in an unnatural environment. That fish can only be happy if he gets back into the water. It's the only way he can be happy. So we are like fish out of water. Our modern day civilization, we made so many fancy arrangements on the beach, our skyscrapers, our iPhones, our 747s, our internet, so many things, our Toyota, so many things we've made arrangements. It's all on the land. It's not our natural environment. This material world is not our natural environment. It's an unnatural environment for the soul, the spirit soul. We are spiritual by nature. This material atmosphere, therefore, will never satisfy us, no matter how much fancy, no, how big skyscrapers we build, how many swimming pools we have. Nothing will ever satisfy you. See? It's not possible. But if we can simply get back into our original consciousness, Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, if we can simply get back to that original consciousness, then it's so easy to be happy. You see? It's so easy to be happy. Even in the churches, the synagogues, the mosques, the temples, they're not teaching this. They're saying, come to the temple, come to the church, come to the synagogue, come to the mosque, and ask God for your daily bread. Ask God for your daily chapatis. You see? Does that make sense? If we see some young children here, do you have to ask your parents every day, will you feed me? Mommy and Daddy, will you feed me today? Do you boys have to ask your parents every day, Mommy and Daddy, will you feed me today? Please feed me today. They never have to ask that. Because the parents love the child. They'll always make sure the child has enough to eat. Do we think God has to be reminded to feed us? You see? This idea of approaching God for our daily chapatis, our daily bread, it doesn't make any sense. It's not God consciousness, it's chapati consciousness. You see? So instead of approaching God for material things, which He's going to give us anyway because He loves us, we should ask Him first to serve Him, you see. We are approaching God selfishly, keeping ourselves at the center. God, give me this. God, give me that. Give to me. You see, it's me-centered. It's me consciousness, not God consciousness. You cannot be happy as long as you're in a state of me consciousness. You see, I, me, and mine will not make you feel very fine, you see. And that's our whole culture. We are trained in I, me, and mine. Even we see little children. One child goes to the other child's house. He goes into the child's bedroom. And he looks at the other child's toys. And what does the child say? Mine. Isn't it? Mine. You see? Even as little children, this I, me, and mine consciousness is there. And it, as adults, what do? We go to war. Nation to nation. The same consciousness as little children saying, my toys, the same thing brings nations to war. You see, it's the same thing. And the adults, it leads to war, it leads to divorce, it leads to murder, and so many things. The same consciousness. That I am the center. You see, instead of making God the center, I want to put myself in the center. So therefore, it's very important that we have to have a spiritual master, you see, to help us come out of this illusion of putting myself in the center. This is why it is stated in the Mundaka Upanishad, Tadvaganartam sagarumeva bhagatsat samitpanihi shrotiyam brahmanishtam. If you want to realize that absolute truth, then you must go to a spiritual master. You must. If you've studied Sanskrit language, you know that there are different verbal endings. It's like we say in Sanskrit, we say gachati, he goes. Or we say gachanti, they go. Or we say gachchet, must go. Let's see, this is Sanskrit grammar. So that gachchet ending, it is called the vidhi lind form of the verb. The gachchet ending means it's compulsory, there's no option. So Muddhaka Upanishad, tad viganartam, to know that absolute truth. Tad viganartam sagurum eva bigatschet. You must go to a guru. There's no option. If you want to know the absolute truth, you have to go to a spiritual master. You see. And who is the bona fide guru? That is also described in the same verse. Shrutiyam brahmanishtam. He has heard the Vedic wisdom, the Shruti. He has heard it from authorized sources. He's repeating it verbatim, exactly as he has heard it without any distortion, without any addition, without any subtraction. That is Shrotiyam. And then Brahmanishtam means he is solidly fixed. Nishtam means firm faith in Sanskrit language. Brahmanishtam, he's solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. He knows God. He's a servant of God. He never claims to be God, you see. He's a humble servant of God. So, if we can find out such a bona fide spiritual master, you see, then we can understand what is that absolution. We can understand who am I? What is my relationship with everything else? You see, am I the Lord of all I survey? Or am I a servant, you see? It is also similarly stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, chapter number 3, text number 21. Tasmad gurum prapadye cha yagyashu shraya uttamam pare shabde pare tanishtatam brahmani upashamashrayam. If you want to achieve shraya uttamam, the ultimate happiness, then you must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation. The bona fide spiritual master is that person who has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and is thus able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken complete shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. So if you can find such a teacher, you see, then the Bhagavatam says you must become his disciple. You see, you must become his disciple. Because when you have a bona fide spiritual master, you see, then you can know everything. You can become perfect in transcendental knowledge. That is the symptom of being a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master. If you become a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master, then you have perfect knowledge, you see, of everything. This is confirmed in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.23. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaite kyatita hirata prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have unflinching implicit faith in the words of Sri Guru, in the words of Sri Krishna, are all the imports of the Vedic knowledge revealed. So if you have that firm faith in the bona fide spiritual master and in the teachings of the Supreme Lord given in Bhagavad Gita, you see, simply these two things, then you become perfect in knowledge. Everything becomes known to you, you see. Yasmin vigyate sarvam egan sarvam evang vigatam bhavati. One who knows the Supreme Absolute Truth, he knows everything. He has perfect knowledge of everything. He understands mathematics, physics, geography, trigonometry, biology, zoology, astronomy, you see, computers, everything. He has perfect knowledge of everything because he knows the basis of everything. Everything we see here is an emanation from God, you see. There's nothing that exists independently from God. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 8. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mutak sarvam pravartate iti madva bhajante bang buddha bhava samanvataha. Krishna says, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all of their hearts. So actually everything we see is the energy of God. Just like this podium here. This is the energy of God. This microphone is the energy of God. You see? These fans, the street, the cars, our bodies, our clothes, this flower garland, everything we see is the energy of God. So if everything is the energy of God, then who should it be? What should we do with it? To use it for our pleasure or for God's pleasure? You see? Krishna answers this question in chapter 5, text 29 of the Bhagavad Gita. If you carefully study Bhagavad Gita, you'll have perfect knowledge about everything. Krishna says in chapter 5, text 29, Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvaman shantam richati. He says, I am the supreme enjoyer, bhaktanam jagatapasam, sarvaloka maheshwaram, everything belongs to me. I'm the supreme proprietor of everything. And suhridam sarvabhutanam, one who, I am the best friend of all living entities, and shantamam gyatvamam shantam richati. Knowing this, by knowing this, is the formula for achieving true peace and happiness. So it's not difficult to be happy. You see, you can be rich, you can be poor, you can be famous, you can be unknown, you can be loved, you can be hated in this world. It doesn't matter what your position is in this world. White, black, old, young, male, female, doesn't matter what your position is. If you simply know that Krishna or God is the owner, the enjoyer, and the best friend, then you become completely happy, you see. So where is this being taught? Now they're saying God is dead. You see? Or they're saying God is only, you know, Allah. Unless you call God Allah, you're going to hell, you see. But how can God only have one name, you see? Does that make sense? That God only has one name? God is a word, and in English, and in Sanskrit it's called Ishvara. In another language it's Allah, in another language it's Dios. You see, it's his language. Do we think God only speaks one language? I mean, I know people who are fluent in three languages. You can speak to them any three language, you see. You can speak to them in any one of three or four languages, and they can answer very fluently. Do we think God's only speak one language? Is that a very intelligent thing, that God is so uneducated? Even though all knowledge comes from him, he can only speak one language. That he can only call him Allah, or he can only call him Christ, or he can only call him Buddha. He can only understand one language. You see, this is not very intelligent philosophy. God is multilingual. All languages emanate from him. Krishna is so expert, he can even speak in the language of the birds. We study in the scripture, he can talk to the birds in their own language, in bird language. Krishna, do you understand bird language? Or deer language? How about elephant language? Can you speak elephant language? But Krishna, he can speak with the animals in their own. They have their languages also. Every species has its own language. Krishna can communicate even with the animals in their own languages. It's described in the scriptures. So we think he can't understand. For his human languages, he only can speak Urdu, or he can only speak Hindi, he can only speak Tamil, he can only speak English. No, Krishna, he can speak, understand all languages. So you call him Allah or Krishna or Jehovah or Christ. He can understand all of these names. There's not a problem for him. But we say, no, only this name, you see. Only Christ, nor only Allah. You see, this is blindness. This is blindness. It's fanaticism. It's not philosophy. We should understand that God is universal. You see? He's called Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. Is he Hindu Nath, the Lord only of the Hindus, or Muslim Nath, or Christian Nath, or Jewish Nath? No, he's Jagannath. He's the Lord of the whole universe. So everybody is Jagannath's servant, you see. Everyone. And everybody is servant of Jagannath. It's like we have our Jagannath Mandir down here, you see. Everyone is servant of Jagannath. They just haven't realized it yet. There is one Supreme Lord. He has unlimited names. And he is the Lord of everything. Therefore, another name is Jagannath. He is all attractive. Therefore, his other name is Krishna. He is the one who gives pleasure to the cows and the senses. Therefore, he is called Govinda. He's the one who herds the cowherd boys. Therefore, he's called Gopal. He's the one who enjoys his wonderful girlfriend, Radharani. Therefore, he's called Radharaman, you see. It's the same person. Many, many different names, you see. So we have to become educated in the science of God. But where is this being taught in the schools? They just teach them 1 plus 1 equals 2. The school teacher was teaching the children to become atheists. In the classroom, the teacher said, "Okay, students, now we will see if God exists or not." So this teacher said, "Okay, God, if you're out there, then show us that you exist. Give us a bolt of lightning or something to prove that you exist." And nothing happened. So I said, "See, children, there is no God." But that's ridiculous. Just like you have a prime minister in your country here, Malaysia. See? Okay, I said, "Okay, prime minister, whoever you are out there, if you're actually the prime minister of Malaysia, you come right here to this Sai Baba Center tonight and prove to us that you're actually the prime minister of this country. And if you don't come, then we don't accept you're the prime minister." I mean, that'd be ridiculous. And you think God has a much bigger position than the prime minister. Why does he have to come for your commanding, you see? But the teacher was teaching the students there was no God, because God doesn't do what I say, therefore he's not God. This is absurd. This is ridiculous. This is the kind of training the students are getting in these schools, you see? So therefore, a bona fide spiritual master is very much needed. The bona fide spiritual master doesn't put up with any of this nonsense. He cuts through all the crud with the sword of knowledge, you see. Therefore we pray, Om Gyanatimadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was standing in the darkness of ignorance with my eyes tightly closed shut. But the spiritual master came with a torch of knowledge and he's forcing my eyes open. Therefore, I bow down and offer my respectful obeisance at his lotus feet. You see. The fact is, we're so conditioned by this material world, we become completely enamored by the material atmosphere. We lose our interest in God. It's a fact. You see, how many people are coming to a discourse about God tonight of the population? If we advertise, even if we rent a big stadium, how many people will come? You see. And put advertising everywhere. Some very few people. But you have a big soccer game or whatever your sport is, thousands of people will come, you see. For the nonsense thing, everyone will come. For the real thing that actually delivers people from their suffering and illusion, nobody's interested, because they've been so much misguided and mistrained by their parents, by their teachers, by the politicians, by the writers, by the cinema, by the musicians. Everywhere, gross ignorance is being propagated on these people. And you can sit out there in the traffic jam, just look at all these miserable people. You're sitting in their car. They have no purpose for life. All their only purpose is to earn some money and you know, fight through the traffic jam twice a day to earn a few, whatever you have, ringgits, your currency, so they can have a little sense gratification at the end of the day, you know, something to eat, maybe a little sex pleasure. And that's it. Such a miserable life. The spirit soul is completely covered by illusion. He's not able to relish the happiness of his true existence. This is why a spiritual master is absolutely required, you see. You have to have a spiritual master. Tasmad gurum papaddecha jigyashu shraya uttamam. The only way you can actually experience that ultimate happiness is to come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. Take shelter of him. Become his disciple. Hear from him. Learn from him. Serve him. Krishna describes exactly how to deal with the spiritual master in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 34. A wonderful verse from Krishna. He says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatpadarshinaha. He says, just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. What is pratipatena means? It means falling down at the feet. It means surrendering yourself to the spiritual master. Pranipatena, with falling down at his feet, by falling down at his feet. And pariprasnena, submissive inquiries. That means you shouldn't be a blind follower just saying, yes, Gurudev, yes, Gurudev, yes, Gurudev, but having so many doubts in your head. No, if you don't understand something, you ask. You see? You don't understand, you ask something. Just like when we give lecture, we all, at the end, we have questions and answers. Did we pass out paper to anybody for questions and answers? I don't think so. So at the end, we have questions and answers. So as we're speaking, you can write down your questions, and then I will have you can whatever questions you have, I'm here to answer all of your questions. I'll stay here all night if you have enough questions, because I've come here to enlighten you with transcendental knowledge, you see. I don't want you to be an illusion. I want you to become enlightened with transcendental knowledge. So that's the next one, Pariprasanena. And then the third item, Sevaya, serving the spiritual master. I say, why do you have to serve the spiritual master? I'll just take the knowledge and go home. But you know, it's not like that. This is not like arithmetic, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. This knowledge is called vigyan. This is knowledge that you realize by surrender, by service, the knowledge becomes realized. In other words, I can tell you that Krishna is God, you see. That's theoretical knowledge. Or I can teach you how to qualify yourself to see Krishna personally with your own eyes standing in front of you. You have mystical, actual mystical experience of seeing Krishna. I can teach you how to do that, you see. That's called vigyan. So, but that kind of being able to direct, becoming purified, to be able to see God directly with your own eyes, that requires surrender, that requires service to the spiritual master. You see, I can teach you that Krishna is God, that's theoretical, but I can teach you how to see God and how you can personally meet God, that's called realized knowledge, you see. And that realized knowledge only comes by service, you see. It's a fact, you can see God. See, actually, right now we cannot see God. We're covered by lust, by anger, by greed, by madness, by illusion, by envy. But actually, God is present. Krishna himself, the source of everything, is right here present in this room. We cannot see him. But if our eyes become purified by the process of bhakti, then we can see God. This is confirmed by Lord Brahma. He states in a wonderful book, maybe you've heard of this book called Brahma Samhita. Very nice, especially the 5th chapter of Brahma Samhita is very, very special knowledge. Brahmaji states there, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Valochanena Santaksadaiva Hidarishu Valoka Yanti Yangshamushunjaramachinyuganasvarupam Govindamari Purusham Damaham Bhajami. Very, very beautiful shloka. Brahmaji says, when your eyes are purified by the salve of love of God, then you can see God everywhere within and without, you see. So if you can actually surrender yourself to the spiritual master, if you can inquire from him submissively, render service unto him, then Krishna becomes revealed to you in due course. Krishna will become revealed to you in due course. That is the test of a bona fide spiritual master. If by serving him and following his instructions, you're able to directly meet Krishna, then you know the spiritual master is bona fide. Spiritual master delivers Krishna to you. That is a bona fide spiritual master. So maybe there's some questions now. I see some people writing. That's very good. That's very good. Everyone's encouraged to ask questions. So we can, you see, in the there are so many questions and answers going on in the world, you see. The businessman, he's asking, where's the money, where's the money, where's the money? The student's asking, you know, where's the answer to these questions so I can pass the exam? The bird is asking, chirp, 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 where's the worm, where's the worm, where's the worm? The politician is saying, where can I get the votes? Where can I get the votes? Where can I get the votes? So many questions and answers are going on. But if we can learn to make our questions and answers in relationship, give me a question. There's all many questions. There's, bring one forward, let me have it. Somebody bring a question forward, let me have a question. Why are there no one's bringing the questions to me? I'm sitting here. Why the questions have not come to me? Bring me a question.
Why
Okay. All right, good. Okay, here we go. Krishna consciousness teaches to serve God. What about merging with God? Actually, many philosophers have the urge to merge with God, you see. But if you merge with God, then how can there be any love, you see? Okay. Let me ask you this. Hanuman is very dedicated to serving Sita and Ram. If we told Hanuman, you can merge and become Ram, you see, and then you can enjoy Sita, what would Hanuman do? And he said, that sounds pretty interesting. He would take his tail and he would knock you clear across to the other side of the Himalayan mountains. That's what he'd do. If you made such a suggestion to Hanuman that you can merge and become Ram, he would knock you on the other side of the Himalayan mountains with his big tail. He would give you a heavy wallop. Wham! You see? See, a devotee never wants to become his Lord. He always wants to remain individual so he can serve his Lord. He never wants to become. A devotee never wants to become his Lord. And actually, according to Krishna, who is the supreme authority, in chapter 2, text number 12 of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Natvevaham jatuna sang natvang neme janadipa nachayvana bhavisharma sarve mayamatahatvadam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. In other words, Krishna is saying, there was never a time when we were merged. We are not merged now, nor will there ever be a time in the future when we will ever be merged. So Krishna has affirmed the eternal individuality in the past, the present, and the future of all living beings in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text number 12. So there's no question of merging with God. Actually, the Mayavadi philosophers, the personalists, they want to merge and become God. But our Vaishnava philosophy is, why merge with God? Why become one with God when you can become greater than God? You see, God will become subordinate to you, just like he became subordinate to Mother Jasoda by being the chastised son of Mother Jasoda. God already became the subordinate charioteer of Arjuna, Partha Sarathi, you see. So the Vaishnava philosophy, why merge with God, become greater than God? God will become your personal servant. This is called Vaishnava philosophy. Keep your individuality, having a loving relationship with God. Let me ask you this, would any of you like to live in a world where there was no love? Love absolutely didn't exist. Anybody volunteer to move to such a world where there's no love? No, no one wants such a world. So if everybody merges into God and it's all one, then where's the love? There's nobody to love or be loved. It's all just the one. You see what I'm saying? So this merging in God is a philosophy for people who are completely carried away by the material energy. At least it gives them the idea of detaching himself from the material world, but it's not a perfect philosophy. It's a philosophy for kindergartners. Do you have kindergarten here? Yeah, spiritual kindergartners. To help them get free of the idea of enjoying the material world. It's not for people who are advanced in spiritual knowledge. Number two, elaborate more on karma. Karma means, it's like Newton, the famous scientist, he said, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. If you throw a tennis ball on the wall, it's going to bounce back in your face. That's called karma. Lord Buddha taught, if you harm someone, you hurt someone, you're going to get hurt in return. If you hurt a cow, you're going to get hurt in back, you see. So don't harm anyone. Don't hurt anyone. What is the real knowledge we can gain from the spiritual master? The real knowledge is, as taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivaras Prabhupahoy Krishnara Nityadas, the constitutional position of a living entity is he's the eternal servant of Krishna or God. That's the knowledge. God is there and we're His eternal servants. And the spiritual master then engages the disciples in a very practical way on a daily basis how to serve God 24 hours a day. In the morning, at work, at home, in the commute, how to always be serving God 24 hours a day. That is what is taught by the bona fide spiritual master. What are the qualities one should have to see God, or at least feel the existence of God? You have to become saintly. You have to give up bad habits like illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. You have to absorb yourself in meditating on the holy names of God. Just like it is recommended in the Kali Sansarana Upanishad, these particular names are recommended. Maybe you've heard this mantra before. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So that's a recommendation given in the Kali Sansarana Upanishad. By leading a pure life and chanting the names of God, you become qualified to personally see God and feel His presence with you at every minute. Hare Krishna Gurudev, may I know how to serve our spiritual master. I have some disciples here tonight, and so they're asking me some questions like this. The answer is that to serve your spiritual master, you need to awaken the love of God within your heart. My instruction to my disciples is become so pure in your heart that you can capture God by the ropes of your love. That's my instruction to my disciples. Become pure lovers of God so you can capture Him by the ropes of your love. Dear Srila Gurudev, can we surrender to God without a spiritual master? Well, this is very popular nowadays. Who wants a guru? I'll just be my own guru. That sounds like a nice philosophy, but, let's find out what God says, because He's the supreme authority. Krishna states in the Adi Purana, He says, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhakchanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamuta. If anybody knows Sanskrit, it's pretty elementary Sanskrit. Ye me bhakta jana parata, my dear son Aprita, the one who is my devotee, and then he says, Na me bhaktas. He's not my devotee. So Krishna has directly stated to Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas. He's not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, can we surrender to God without a spiritual master? Well, you can directly go to God and say, Okay, Lord, I'm coming to you without a guru. I'm just coming to you and asking you how to surrender. He says, Okay, here's how you have to surrender to become the devotee of my devotee. You see? If you approach the devotee, he will tell you to surrender to God. And under his direction, you will do it. He'll tell you how to do it. And if you approach God, he'll say, Surrender to my devotee. You see? So the guru will send you to God, and God will send you to the guru. So actually you have to accept both. It's a package deal. Is it? It's a package deal. You might get an iPhone, you might get a mobile phone, you gotta take the charger along with it, or it won't work very long, you see. It's a package deal. You gotta get your mobile phone along with the charger. Well, I don't want a charger, I just want a mobile phone. Well, it's not gonna work. You see, God is like the mobile phone and the guru is like the charger, you see. You gotta have the charger also, otherwise your phone is useless. Isn't it? It's like they brought me a phone last night to use while I was with no charger. I said, What is this good? No, must bring a charger. And so tonight they brought me the charger, you see. So if you want God without guru, that means you want a phone without a charger. It won't be very practical, you see. You have to have a charger also. The guru, he charges you. He charges, not charging you money, but A real guru doesn't charge you any money, you see. He gives the knowledge free, but you have to pay by service. That's called loving exchange. The guru surcharges you with bhakti. He charges you with bhakti. The guru is charged with bhakti from his guru, and he charges you with bhakti. When you take the words of guru into your heart, through the ears, you become surcharged with bhakti, you see. So the guru is like the charger, you see. You plug into the guru and you get charged up with bhakti, you see. Why must we surrender? Well, Krishna says you have to surrender. He says, Sarva dharman parityaja, mam ekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchah. He says, give up all your other duties. They're not very important. You have one duty and one duty only, and that's to be my devotee. That's the only real duty you have. All the other duties, the duty, 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 they'll all fade away, you see. But you have one duty that's eternally your duty, and that's to surrender to God, to Krishna. And he says, if you do so, I will immediately deliver you from all of your pop. Doesn't matter how sinful you are, how many hamburgers you ate, or how much liquor or cigarettes or whatever you may have done that was sinful in this life or previous lifetime. Simply surrender to Krishna, Krishna wipes it all out, you see. You become completely free from all your pop. Even if you murder a Brahmin, you see. Everything wiped out, become completely purified. Some of the most degraded dacoits, mafia, they became devotees, you see. This Jagai Madai, they were the mafia of Navadvip in India. They were rapists, they were murderers, they were drunkards, everything sinful they were doing, for they surrendered to Lord Chaitanya and became pure devotees just by bowing down at his feet and surrendering. Questions: are you doing this around the world? Why is it so? Yes, I'm traveling. This is my wife here, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. We are traveling all over the world. We're on a world tour right now. My guru gave a mission to his disciples. He said, become guru and deliver the whole world. So that is my mission. We're on a mission to deliver the entire world from illusion, to bring a new age of peace and prosperity, of spiritual enlightenment for every country. Everybody will accept Krishna as the supreme Godhead, the Muslims, Christian, the Jews, the Sikhs, the Jains, the atheists, the agnostics, the hedonists, everyone will accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and bow down at his lotus feet. That is our mission. We want to make the whole world Krishna conscious, and that's what I'm up to. You may say, well, it's impossible. Why are you wasting your time? But you know, I was just in South Africa the other day, and who would have thought that Nelson Mandela, a man in prison, could ever overthrow apartheid? But he did. He defeated the apartheid government in South Africa. All he was in prison. He spent how many years in prison? They just stuck him in prison. And he defeated the apartheid movement by his determination. So if Nelson Mandela can defeat apartheid, then we should also endeavor to defeat materialism on this planet and bring a spiritual age for everyone's benefit. So everybody can become peaceful. Everybody can become happy. Everybody can become prosperous. Even the animals be well fed. The plants will even become happy if we can bring back Krishna consciousness to the planet, you see. So that's our mission. We want every plant, every animal, every human being to be totally happy, free of anxiety in every country of the world. That's our mission. Kindly help us in that mission. That's my request. Okay, next question. Please tell me your experience with Krishna. Any miracles? Well, I'm having miracles at every moment. Actually, I'm experiencing a miracle at every moment. Every moment's a miracle for me. I mean, to me, it's just miraculous what's happening at every minute. It's unbelievable to me. It's a miracle. I'm experiencing Krishna at every minute. And wherever I go, I'm always in touch with Krishna, and I'm feeling his presence. I'm feeling the presence of my spiritual master. And the experience is so amazing that I'm just praying that somehow I can get the whole world to experience what I'm experiencing. I'm just praying because you all will just be completely transformed into completely anxiety-free people if you can experience what I'm experiencing, you see. I'm just praying that the whole world can experience what I'm experiencing right now. I'm praying that what I'm experiencing with Krishna right now, the whole world can experience it. Because all the problems will be solved, all the terrorism, all the murders, all the immorality, all of this stuff will be completely gone. It will be vanished from the face of the earth. This will be as good as the spiritual world here. This will become heaven on earth, you see. I'm living in heaven at every minute, better than heaven at every minute, by always being connected with Krishna, and I want the whole world also to experience this. Therefore, I'm trying to make it available. So I think our questions have run out. And I mean, it's time to finish. Get ready for my next lecture. And do some... So anyway, if there's nothing else, I just wanted to, you know, thank you all very much. I'm very, very appreciative. You've been a very good audience. I mean, you've really listened nicely. The children have listened, the adults. Everybody's been tuned in. You're very sincere, pious people. Oh, have we a question? Oh, yeah. I'm on the internet. If you go to www.joincourse.com and you get on my free e-course, and if you'd like to be in touch with me by email, when you come up, just ask for a card. And this will give you the sign up for the e-course, and also you can have it. You may have questions you come from your mind, you can ask me later on. You just ask for a card when you come up for the prasadam. I've offered this to Krishna, and everybody can come and get some of the Krishna prasad from me. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.